The biggest thing about Acts 19, when we were studying previously, in the previous chapters, they would look forward, Acts chapter 19 and Paul's third missionary journey, to the revival at Ephesus. I'm going to read a little bit here, but the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me a picture of something that I wanted to show you. And again, I think, all right, let's just do this. I don't know what Paul prayed about. Doesn't really tell us. I know he prayed for the people he prayed for. He tells us he prayed for the churches. He prayed in spirit. But we don't know exactly how he prayed. We do know how he preached. And it seems like, okay, I really feel like I'm, can you just cut me down just a little bit more on the microphone? Because I feel like I'm wanting to talk lighter, and I just want to make sure I can just preach. My dad always said that he was a preacher teacher. Where he'd teach for a while and then he'd just kick it in there, and that definitely describes what I've been doing more and more. I've always been that way, but so when I preach, I don't want to have to hold back. I want to be able to go. but everything that Paul was doing in chapter 19 was moving towards revival, but there's nothing mentioned of him seeking after revival. I feel like, okay, go, are you in Acts 19? Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Because I think we make a mistake in the church world, not necessarily of teaching things and teaching expectations, but what we pursue after. I think there's a danger because a lot of times, well, Philippians 3, chapter, verse 10, I'm guessing is about where I want to be. I'm careful how to minister on this because I've taught on revival again, but usually we gotta. I've seen personal revivals. I've been thinking a lot. I've had two times in my life where the Holy Spirit just did stuff in me that was out of the ordinary. Where like when my gifting, I knew I was called to preach, and there was one time, and I've talked about it before, so I'm not going to talk about that. Where I had this moment from God where he revived that, and he really let me see that. It was back when I was in Bible college. So I've had those things, but most of what we know about revival is from other people who have experienced it. And sometimes what we end up doing is seeking after the experience and not focusing on what needs to be focused on. And now notice here it says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. So we know where Paul's mentality is. But let's go back. Is it 7, 6, 7, 3, 2? Go to 6. I should have just looked it up. No. 7. Is it 8? Yeah, let's just keep going to 8. Okay, yeah. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And found him not having mine own righteousness. Okay, I think, let's go to verse 10. I should have just looked it up, but that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain the right resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, here's what I want. Not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this much. This much I do know. In other words, I'm going after everything I can go after. I'm pursuing after the heart of God. I'm pursuing after everything that God has. And I've not figured it all out, but this much I do know, that I forget those things which are behind and I reach forth to those things which are before. In other words, but this one thing I have apprehended is that I press towards, verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize. Listen, I believe revival is a very real thing. We see here, and I can't wait. We're going to touch on it a little bit tonight, but what the Holy Spirit starts showing me today is a lot. I don't know if we'll get that far. Shocker. Revival's a real thing, and revival's something that is going to happen here. I always make sure I understand this thing correctly. But revival is the move of God in the church. I would even call it, even though I know this word is different, the awakening in the church, the move of God, the power of God operating in the church, lives being transformed. When we look in Acts 19, the biggest thing about what they are calling, what they talk about revival in Ephesus, is that the believers kept holding. All right, go to Acts 19 again. I'm just going to read this. I know I'm getting helter skelter. I'm being all over the place right now, but that's okay, because what I want to get into something the Holy Spirit showed me yesterday afternoon or something like that. There are five things that Paul just set his focus on. It didn't seem he set his focus on revival. Revival was the overflow of having right perspective, right, your eyes set on the right thing. When you're focusing after revival, when you're focusing after revival, you're apt to end up doing what the seven sons of Sceva did and try to short skirt things and try to take shortcuts to get there. And we can't do that. We've got to set our hearts and our minds on the things of God. This one thing we know. We've got to set our hearts and our minds on the things of God. But notice this over here in chapter 19. Let's go verse. Oh goodness, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed after these things were ended. Paul purposed in his spirit that he had passed through Macedonia. I'm not going to go on there. But it seems to be that when things manifested, the power of God dropped, and people, it seems to me that there were people that were unsaved that came in, but there are also people, I believe, that were holding on to stuff. In other words, they had given their lives, or they had made a decision to follow Jesus and to listen to Paul, and they enjoyed listening to Paul, but they kept these things back just in case. And I believe so much of what we're operating here in America is we've decided to hold on to all these little extra caveats of our life and these little things that just in case the church doesn't work out, I'm gonna hold on to this area. But when revival hits, when the move of God hits, all of a sudden all those things that you've been holding on to, they hold no value, and you've got to let them go. So I want to just deal with this area to start us off. How far we get, I don't know. But the change that took place in Ephesus was an outcome of several things that took place that we've already talked about, but I want us to reinforce. So Paul set his heart on certain things that were brought about revival. Now the first thing I'd show you, and there's probably some things that you recognize annoy me. Not people. But it annoys me that it's even Pentecostal churches have covered up and not tried to do without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's so much of what I listen to nowadays, and I'm talking about across the board, I don't know if it's because people don't want to get in trouble or be thought weird of. They already think we're all weird. But beloved, go to Acts 1. You're not moving anywhere into the revival and the move of God without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without that heavenly language. People can think I'm weird. I'll help you out right now. I am weird. Because I'm just so weird to believe that what the Word of God says is true. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You'll be my witnesses." Listen, there is a lot of powerless churches around. And it's not because they're not big. It's not because they don't have great worship bands. Listen, worship bands have become popular. I'm not shortchanging them, but they become popular. Everybody has a good worship band. There's worship bands in this city that have better light shows than we have. They don't have better worship, but don't have better music, I don't think. They got better light shows. They got better showtime than we have. Not picking on anybody. I'm just simply saying music is a dime a dozen. It's become popular. You go on YouTube and you look up Elevation or even Bethel or Maverick City, and you see a group of people or a crowd of people or an auditorium of people just shouting and hands up and celebrating. And everybody here knows how I feel about those guys. I'm not speaking against them. But man, that's what I want. When I was a youth pastor, everybody wanted to be Carmen. Not because they wanted a move of God, but because they wanted 10,000, 20,000 people jumping up and down while they were singing. But beloved, I'm telling you this, is that you can have music and music can manipulate people. I'm not dodging that at all. But you will never have the power of God without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without having that heavenly language and without using that heavenly language on a daily basis. The power of God will come upon you when you've received the Holy Ghost. Until you receive the Holy Ghost, beloved, you might have some insight, you might have a good ability to preach, you might have a good this or that, but beloved, you will never have the power of God without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. And it's funny how nobody in churches who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit flow in those 9 gifts. You go to a church that doesn't speak in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're not seeing gifts of healing, workings of miracles. They're not seeing words of knowledge and words of wisdom. They're not seeing the prophetic flow out. They're obviously not seeing messages of tongues and interpretation of tongues. They're not seeing any of that stuff go on. Because they don't have the power. They don't have access to that. So when Paul gets into Ephesus, it is marked by Scripture. I just think it was just something that that Luke decided he was going to write about right up front. No. Every word in here is divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. So when Luke was writing about what happened with Paul in Ephesus, the first thing the Spirit of God said in chapter 19, well, it wasn't chapter 19 at the time, but the first thing he did when he got to that part of writing it is he said he stepped into Ephesus and started dealing with them about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because what God wanted to do in Ephesus could not be done without the baptism of the Holy Spirit operating in that city, in that church, to those people. It is not a side issue. It is not a doctrinal issue. It is not an issue that we can take or leave. Beloved, if you speak in tongues daily, do it more. Hallelujah. I hope this is okay with you guys. But you cannot step into the anointing. You cannot step into miracles. You cannot step. What do we find out here in a little bit that Paul started having these special miracles? You can't go into special miracles unless you have power. And the Apostle Paul makes it very clear. He said, "I speak in tongues more than ye all." So the first thing that happened, beloved, if we're going to see a revival, it's not going to come because we're trying to manipulate the presence of God. And I'm going to leave it at that. It's going to become because the people of God are more in tune with the Holy Spirit and are one of our main focuses is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we see here very clearly is he began teaching in the synagogue. And what did he teach in the synagogue? He taught on the kingdom of God. In other words, God's way of doing things. The kingdom of God is not heaven, though heaven is a part of the kingdom of God. I think, you want to teach on heaven, that's fine. Because heaven's a real place. And one day, we're going to call it home. Now, if all your preaching is on the kingdom of God, or is on heaven, I've heard people say this, and my dad did as good as any job as anybody I know in teaching that there was no difference, is that, the kingdom of God is a way of operating the kingdom of heaven as a location. No. They're the exact same thing. It's just that the Gospels were written to different groups of people, and the Jews didn't like you throwing around the name of God. And so whether it's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it's the same thing. It's how God operates. So the kingdom of God is simply God's way of doing things. And beloved, we're not going to see a move of God doing things our own way. We're going to have to get in when Kenneth and Gloria began seeing breakthrough in their lives. They were sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when they started seeing breakthrough in their life, they started reading the New Testament, and they started from Matthew, and they said, "We're going to read," I think it was Matthew, or maybe it was John, but they said, "We're going to read, and anything we read that we're supposed to be doing that we're not doing, we're going to start doing, and we're not going to question, we're not going to go to people and ask their opinions about it. We're going to assume that if the Bible said it, that's what it means." And so that's what they did. And they quit trying to get explanations of, if we ask enough people, maybe we'll figure out somebody that says we don't need to do that. Well, of course you will. Of course you will. But they went they decided, man, all we're after is the way God wants us to do things. God's way of doing things. And so that's what they did. And it changed their lives. again, I don't mind teaching on revival, because revival is something we need to have an expectancy for. We need to believe for things to change and for the move of God. Beloved, there's seasons around here where it seems people miss services a little more than they should miss services. And you can sit there and go, oh no, God. No, I'm believing for a move of God. I'm believing for revival right in here, right now. I'm believing for personal revivals in everybody's life in this room. A drawing unto God like we've never seen drawn. Those little things that we've held on to in our lives, those little busyness things that we've held on to our lives, letting them go. I'm not moved by it. Our children, the people, listen, God told me a year or so ago, He said, prodigals are coming home. Beloved, we got seats for them. We got them reserved. We've got people that have been supposed to be a part of this church who've left and have gone to other places. They're coming home. I believe it with all my heart. There's a revival and there's an awakening. And I didn't say this earlier, but the awakening is where society awakens to the move of God. And all these things are happening, beloved, but what we've got to do is we've got to stay faithful to the things of God, to God's way of doing things, and not be caught up in, again, this word keeps coming up, manipulating the Spirit of God. You cannot manipulate the Spirit of God. You can manipulate people, but beloved, when you as a pastor, or you as a song person or whatever, leader, when you get into the area of manipulation, you're starting to deal with witchcraft. And that's what the sons of Sceva did. Hopefully we'll get there. But the first thing he did, he said, man, we got to baptism of the Holy Spirit. We got to speak in tongues more. Second thing, we got to teach on the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. The third thing we got to do, I don't think anybody here really wants to do it. But the third thing that I noticed that happened in the preliminaries or leading up to the revival is that he made a bunch of people mad, especially religious people. I like to be liked. I really do. I mean, I don't like people getting mad at me. But you know what? Part of doing things God's way and being clear about it means that some people are going to not like me. When I was in, when my kids were in basketball in high school, and Jesse and I were very involved. If it wasn't for us, I don't know how much would have actually gotten done. That's not me talking. That's pretty much all the coaches that we worked with. And I enjoyed the fact that a lot of those guys considered me their friend. And I felt like that's a good thing that they know. I was able to teach a devotional at to Ryan's basketball team one time. And so I like that. But, you know, when all of a sudden our kids aren't in there anymore, every now and then they might text us for something or whatever. But it's amazing how they know who I am and they really don't want me around too much because I can ruin some fun. Amen. Not because I'm mean, just because of who I am. And it kind of makes me sad, except that's the point. That's the whole point of it, beloved. Religion and sin is not going to like the light that's shining in you. Darkness doesn't like light, because when light shows up, darkness leaves. When light shows up, darkness doesn't have a choice. And so when you are, let me say it this way. Don't get sad if it doesn't seem people want you around. thing. I'll get down here with you. So, light doesn't care if darkness tries to show up. Because darkness, bring in the darkest thing you know right now. Bring in a box of darkness right in the middle of here, and it won't stay dark long. But darkness feels uncomfortable. They're okay with light being away from them. Beloved, when you're shining, when you are who you are, and you stay constant on that, there's going to be some people who are okay with you not being around. Don't force yourself. Does that make sense? Because people got upset when they just did what they were supposed to do, when he did what he was supposed to do. Especially people who are just doing their own thing. And I'll leave it at that. The fourth thing I saw here is that, again, this is all the stuff that Paul was doing, and then revival showed up. And the main thing, the fourth thing I saw that he was doing was that there was an emphasis on evangelism. Because it said there, right there that all of Asia heard the word of God. Everybody heard it. Now, understand this. It doesn't say Paul traveled. Paul stayed in Ephesus and taught at the school of Tyrannus. Paul did not go all around Asia. But Paul instilled in people, he gave to faithful men who gave to faithful men who gave to faithful men. And eventually, in 2 years' time, all of Asia heard the good news, good message. Now, I've said this, not all of them responded positively, but they all heard. So that means part of the kingdom of God is being a light and shining your light and letting other people know about the truth of the Word of God. All right, so let's go back to what Pastor Mike taught January 2nd in his 20 minutes. Loaded, it was loaded. But again, he was talking about, we got to get out, we got to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. We got to go out, we got to do this thing. We got to get busy. Because revival never comes to the dormant. It comes to those that are in motion and who are sowing Jesus. What happens when you sow? You receive a harvest. We want more of you, then give more of Him. Oh, we've made it so tough. I want more of you, then get on your knees and seek and do this, do that, do the other. God says, no, if you want a harvest, there's only one way to get more of a harvest, and that's to sow more. So if you want more of Him, this one thing I do, forget those things that are behind and go after more of what's ahead. How do I get more of what's ahead? By sowing more, by giving Jesus away. But they might get mad at me. Listen, that's point number three. They will get mad at you. Except those times where people are like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When the power of God starts moving through you and they're healed, listen, they're not going to be upset that they're healed. Brr. I can't believe you prayed for me in front of everybody and my cancer disappeared. That's ridiculous. How dare you? Can't believe that you prayed for me in the workplace and my blown out ACL is now totally restored and strengthened and I can walk without a limp. I can't believe you. How dare you? Bah humbug. No. They're going to say, I want what you got. Hopefully. But they'll know where the power is. But they prioritized evangelism. Beloved, I know we've got the Word. I'm not saying this in any kind of egotistical manner, but we get good Word around here. I know I'm the main pastor, but whether it's Pastor Mike or Pastor Lisa or Jessica or anybody else that would ever get behind this pulpit, we get good Word around here. Yes, we get good Word. But beloved, we got to get our hearts set on the field. It's white with harvest. And if we're not doing it, who will? Listen. All we can do is look at what Paul did before revival hit Ephesus. And one of the main things that happened is that there was an explosion of evangelism. And beloved, if we want a move of God, if we want the move of God that we've been believing for here, beloved, we're going to have to evangelize. One of the things I've been looking at, and I don't think it's going to be too much to get, is I want to get a good travel soundboard mixer, power amp, like the one that's underneath there, so that we can go out and we can do some stuff this summer. And we don't have to take out that. We've got a massive travel one. And half the channels don't work and stuff like that. So I'm just going to get a good one. We're going to get these cords that we had planned for running back there up here that we didn't have to use. We're going to get those out. And we're going to do some stuff. I don't know what all we're going to do, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to take the Word. We're going to evangelize. All right. And finally, the fifth thing that he did is that he increased in the anointing and with power. In other words, he saw miracles, special miracles. And again, I don't want to be the church that prays for people. I want to be the church that sees people healed. I don't want to be the church that preaches on miracles. I want to be the church that sees miracles. I don't want to be the church that preaches on the gifts of the Spirit. I want to be the church that sees the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Because it's moving into that. It's moving into that power. Again, which you can't do without going to number one, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's the point. Here's the point that I want to emphasize here is you can't force these moves. Listen, when you begin trying to force things, tonight, listen. There are times like in praise and worship where I'll be up here and I'll be trying to worship, and maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm frustrated at something. Maybe my wife yelled at me, you know. Maybe something like that. Maybe, you know, all the time. Maybe my head's not quite in it. Maybe when I first got here, I had to run back and forth and get a bunch of stuff ready, and I was like, I'm just not ready yet. And there's times where I will set my focus to get in. But I'm not trying to manipulate anything. I need to get in there. But like this evening, I just was like, there's sometimes I sit there and go, Lord, I've been in church services where they sit there and they're trying to whip people into a frenzy and the worship leader's more of a cheerleader and saying, come on, everybody. And I'm like, it's almost like It's almost like after you've lost some weight, you know, and you put a pair of pants on that used to be that adventure to get a button, and then all of a sudden you put them on down. That was too easy. And there's sometimes where like I felt like tonight, like Lord, that was I'm not lessening what happened. It's just like Lord, that was easy. That was fun. We got to spend the whole time just in your presence. So I'm not saying that sometimes we don't work and we don't push to get in there, but we don't manipulate. I will never yell at you guys if you're not doing what I'm doing. I've already made up my mind that there's going to be some times that I'm going to do some weird things. And sometimes it's just myself and Pastor Lisa, but I will never yell at you. Because I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm not here to push you. I'm not a butcher that's pushing you into something. I've said this since the day I started leading worship, which was within my youth group. I'm worship leader. And so, I'm going. If you want to come, come with me. Jessica will be my witness on this, is that when I was a youth pastor, I would do the whole worship service with my eyes closed. Because they couldn't go anywhere I wasn't going. And if I had my eyes open, I'd see them. That was pre-cell phone days back then. Otherwise, it would have been a mess. But if I'd have had my eyes open, I'd have seen them going. Yeah. And that would have annoyed me. So I closed my eyes. Oh, and I'd get in. I would get in there. Ooh, I'd get in deep. But I didn't. If they came, they came. I had a mama come up and her two daughters. She had these twin daughters, and they'd got in trouble one day. And they got in trouble many times, not just one time. They got in trouble, and she was going to keep them out of youth group. And I was like, man, I'd sure hate for you to do that. We have church in youth service. And she says, well, is it okay if I sit up there? I said, yeah, come on up, man. And so our youth service at that time was in where the fellowship hall is up there at Grace Lexington. And it was white tile floor, kind of a cold room. Had my speaker set up there. And we start singing, and I'm not looking at anybody. That's why I had youth sponsors. It was their job to make sure no one killed themselves during praise and worship. And my eyes closed, and we're singing. And we got into a song, and I don't remember what the song is, but man, I just felt a shift in there. And I said, okay, guys, go ahead and. You can talk to each other for a few minutes, and when we're done. And the mom came up to me and goes, did you see that? So what are you talking about? I had my eyes closed. I didn't see nothing. And she goes, as we were worshiping, she said, this place was like filled with a fog. I said, oh, I felt that. That's what you're saying. I felt that because, yeah, it got heavy in here quick. She goes, I just stand back there, and I was like, okay. This is good here. This is, my kids need this. And I didn't have to manipulate. I'm just going. And beloved, we don't have to manipulate to have revival. We just need to do what God wants us to do. See, let's go here to this part because we haven't read this part and I want to read it. And it'll lead us into this next part. See, I'm doing good. I've got a couple minutes here. Let's read verse 11. We'll just go into it. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. This is Acts 19, verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews. Now, I'm going to teach just a smidge on this. The vagabond Jews, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. Vagabond simply meant they just didn't have a home. They traveled to make their money. Which, I mean, it could have been anything. They could have been a carpet salesman or whatever, and they just traveled from town to town. That's how they made their money. And that's all it means, is that they were vagabond. They did not have a home place that they settled in. They traveled around making money. But this group of people traveled around making their money being exorcists. And they took upon themselves to call over them which evil spirits came on. Now, apparently, these people would use incantations, spells, chants, things on that order. They had different wordings that they would use to manipulate the situation and to fool people. Listen, if you're working for Beelzebub, you're not driving out Beelzebub. So apparently there were a lot of these groups that traveled around and had a monopoly on the trade. In Ephesus, everything was spiritual. Not godly, but spiritual. They worshiped Diana and they did all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of these groups that would come through there, and that's how they made their money. Well, now that Paul is seeing people totally set free, legitimately set free by using the name of Jesus, they're kind of annoyed because he's taking some money away from them. Instead of people going to them, they're going to them. So what they thought is that we're going to get involved in what Paul's doing and our chant, instead of being some kind of mystical chant, we're going to use what Paul says. And we're going to try to just get what Paul's getting. Listen, we can try to duplicate. I say this to our band all the time. When we do songs, I said, I don't want to duplicate just the way other people do it. We may have to learn how they do it the first time we do it so that we have an idea of it. But once we start doing it, you best watch me, because I have no clue what I'm going to do. Musicians, do I have a clue what I'm doing? All right. They stayed quiet. And they're well, good people. My wife didn't, but I don't know where we're going. I get ideas. I get these ideas and I start singing songs, or I might instead of, you know, there's sometimes you'll see me because John's being diligent and he's trying to build things up, and I'm like, no, now, we gotta go now, come on, now, because I'm like, I hear it, I feel it now, we're not gonna build this thing because we're there now, let's do it, and I'm like, because I don't want to be a duplicate of anybody else. It's intriguing when a song becomes ours and we're no longer singing Chris Brown's song or Brandon Lake's song or Chris Tomlin's song. Because when it becomes ours, we aren't following their pattern anymore. We'll sing their melody and we'll use their rhythm and stuff like that. But man, it is us. Because I don't want to be a duplicate of another church. Beloved, I don't try to sound similar to my dad. I don't try to teach similar to my dad. Now, I haven't been specifically under his ministry. He's been my apostle for a long time. So there's areas where I've developed where I am me. But there's still times I think to myself, I'm a lot like my dad. I was watching the video. Someone posted the video shortly after Dad passed away of Dad's first sermon that he preached at Grace Fellowship in the Campbell House Inn, and where he was walking around and moving all over the platform. I was going, well, that reminds me more of me. I don't know how many miles I walk during my preaching. But that reminded me of how I move, because as you know, the last several years, Dad would stay more right behind the pulpit. But I don't try to act like him. But I'm a son, so a lot of times things come out that are very similar to him. I don't want to be a replica of any other church. I want us to be us. Because I don't want to copy someone else's anointing. Because if you copy someone's anointing, you can never get clearer than that. And this group of vagabond Jews, their dad seems to be, and so that's what they did, is their new chant now, or their new lingo was, in the name of Jesus Christ, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't preach him, but they used his name. Now again, if they could get people coming to them that would normally come to Paul, they'd win back some business. I need to be done here, and I'll be done. Amongst these vagabond Jews that were doing this were seven sons of a man named Sceva, who was a Jew and the chief of the priest. Now, there's a lot of different people, a lot of different thoughts on this. Some believe that he just simply was a ruling priest. I heard one person say that he was one of the 24 ruling priests in the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. It's possible that he was one of the 24. It doesn't say that he was involved with them. It doesn't say he was doing it. It was his sons that were doing it. So they could have just been using his name to give, you know, it'd be like if I decided that I was going to do a ministry and call it Ron Callahan Ministries and just say, hey, that's what they're doing, is they're just using his name instead of doing that. So that's a possibility. Most likely, the priests that were in the Ephesus area, in the Asia area, he must have been more than likely one of the head priests in that region. Now it doesn't say he was involved in the trickery, but they used their dad's name to do it. The point that is here is that they didn't believe in the power that Paul had. They seemed to, I don't know if they realized the power in it or not, but they eventually found it. They decided to use that as a chant because it would get people coming to them instead of to Paul. And verse 15, it says, "And the evil spirit," well, he said, "We adjure you." I got to keep on here. Where they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered. I don't know how many times the evil spirit ever answered them before. He was a part of their charade. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we'll make money and we'll lay off for a second. Okay, now then they come back stronger. But the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know. But who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now, this is the... I've said five things up to this point, where I've said it was Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, kingdom of God, religion will get mad at you, evangelism, then the power and the anointing, healing, miracles happening, But I believe there's a sixth thing that we see here that leads up to the revival. And I believe that's something that's coming very soon to church houses all over. And that is a illumination of that which is not real. Those that are just playing church. Those that are just going through the motions. People are like, oh, you better make sure. No, I believe that we've entered into a season where those that are just playing church, those that are using church for money making, for business, it's going to be made very clear. And I believe that what we see right here, those that have just been doing it just to get the paycheck and just to go through the motions and just to do stuff, and they have not been, you know, whatever, they're going to come out beaten up and worn out and looking bad. Don't be fooled by what you see today. The power of God's moving. The power of God's getting ready to burst forth. But we've got to stay faithful about the Father's business, doing the things that we know to do. Amen. Don't try to be a carbon copy of someone else. Don't be a copy. We are Grace Fellowship of Moorhead. And we have the purpose and the call of God in our lives. And what God tells us to do, we will do. Amen. But we want the move of God in this city. And so we got to make sure we keep our focus. Hallelujah. I hope all that made sense. I literally preached off of two little yellow post-it notes tonight, because the Holy Spirit just showed it to me this afternoon. So, stand together. I got all these notes. I preached off of two little post-it notes. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, here we are this evening. We're just after you. We just want you. The song that we sing, it says, nothing else will do. I just want you. That's my passion. I'm not up here for a show. Listen, if I was up here for a show, I would take some kind of dance lessons. I would find dance on YouTube and practice, or have my kids teach me something. I'm not up here for a show. I'm up here for you. I'm up here to obey the calling that you've placed on my heart. I'm in Moorhead, not... Yes, Lord, I know what's coming. I understand that. But I'm not in Moorhead for the show. I'm in Moorhead, Father, to see lives change. I'm in Grace Fellowship to see lives changed. And Lord, you're getting ready to do a quick work. I mean, and I'm not, it's not wishful thinking. That's your method of operating. David woke up in the morning in the field and went to sleep a king. Joseph Joseph woke up in the morning in the dungeon, in the prison, went to sleep in the palace. That's your method of operating. You do things in a moment, in a quick work. But Father, our desire, our goal, our purpose has got to be the heart of God, has got to be to keep our attention, keep our purpose, keep our plans on the mark that has been set before us. Not on the prize, not on the big thing, not on trying to manipulate or take shortcuts, but to keep doing that which you've called us to do. And so, Father, we will. We will be obedient to your word. We'll be obedient to your ways so that we can walk with a purpose towards what you have called us to. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.